Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
505 DGS. One of the biggest stories in the news right now is this big major hack of the pipeline over on the East Coast by buddy George Rosenthal, one of the owners of ThrottleNet, joins us now. Hello, George.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Man, I don't remember how many years it's been that you've been telling me about ransomware, but like,
yeah.
You and Mike always say, like, look, it's really serious. It's not going away. It's getting worse all the time. So what's your understanding of what happened with this one?
So I've been following this all day. It really is a serious, serious problem. The Colonial Pipeline pumps gas and oil all across the entire eastern seaboard. So you're talking about a major piece of American infrastructure. And they are already taking claim as a group called the Dark Side. It's a Russian group. They've been around for a while. And I'll tell you a little bit more about them in a second. But they've claimed responsibility for it. They got into the Colonial Pipeline network through ransomware. Nobody knows how they got in yet, whether it was an email phishing attack or malware, or even what you're going to hear a lot of soon is going to be supply chain issues where they could have gotten this through a vendor. They could have gotten malware through a vendor of theirs. Either way, the Dark Side, every time I say that, it reminds me of Darth Vader. The Dark Side got into the pipeline system and created this ransomware, locked up files, and then demanded money. What they are claiming on their website is that they didn't think that the ransomware would shut down all four oil and gas pipelines, causing a complete massive infrastructure issue. So they, and I'll read this because it's a quote from their website. They're saying, "We are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics. Do not tie us with a defined government and look for other motives." So that tells us a couple of things. One, either they're scared to death that now people are coming after them because you messed with the infrastructure of the number one superpower, or there's a Russian thing behind it telling them that they're, you know, be sure to tell everybody you're not associated with a government to start a major conflict. The point of it is that it illustrates how ransomware, malware, and phishing attacks, possibly, if that's how they got in, phishing attacks can cause this type of disruption to a computer system, and in this case happens to run the oil and gas pipeline for our eastern seaboard.
So, George, obviously I don't understand any of this. I don't understand the X's and O's, so dumb it down as much as you can.
So, absolutely.
So they get in through something as easy as like an email. And
correct. Somebody clicking an email.
So they have the technology to shut down your dentist office, to hold hostage your emails, to blackmail
100%.
You because they can read all your stuff and you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, or now to shut down like a gigantic pipeline.
Exactly. What they do is they encrypt the files and lock them up and say, give us thousands, in some cases millions of dollars, and we'll give you a key to unlock them. Sometimes they give you the key, sometimes they don't. That's the bad thing. That's why you have to be prepared for the disaster, have backups and ready things ready to go. There's all types of security measures to have in place to ensure. What they do, though, it's all about money. In fact, this group called the Dark Side actually has a help desk. And
desk
actually helps other hackers, and they get paid by other hackers to help them infiltrate and write ransomware for other people who don't know how to write ransomware. So it is a business. It is all about money, and it's about getting your money. Whether you're a one-man operation or whether you're a 100-person company, it doesn't matter. They are sending out millions and millions of phishing attacks, which are emails looking like all kinds of things, you get malware. That malware infiltrates your folders and files, locks them up, and demands money. And that's exactly what this is. So now, whether they realized it or not, which I think they did, but when they locked all these files up, it immediately shut down and locked up the computers that pumped and regulated the oil and gas going through the pipes. This also happened in a municipality where they took over and actually tried to put too much of a chemical into a water plant. This happened recently in D.C. with the D.C. Police Department, where ransomware got in and they started leaking all the personal HR data of the police officers. So what's wild is they may not leak it out to the public. They'll get in, take your data, and sell it to the first person they can on the dark web, who will then go and use it to recreate your identity or hack into your systems or shut you down in some other ways. It's absolutely crazy, but it's all about money.
Okay, so we're the United States. We're the superpower of the world. Do we have digital ninjas that can find these people and correct it or hurt them? Or
absolutely.
So we do.
Yes, yes. The NSA, CIA, FBI all have organizations. Homeland Security actually has a major organization. They are working very hard to track people down. The problem is they use Bitcoin for these transactions. Recently, we did a webinar on the dark web, and I would encourage you and all the listeners out there to go check out this live demonstration of the dark web. We log onto the dark web using all kinds of precautions. You can see it on our YouTube channel. You can also see it at throttlenet.com/webinars. It is a 15 minutes of fascinating video. It shows you everything that's out there, from guns, steroids, drugs. But we actually get to see companies' logos, Wells Fargo statements, their files, what's out there on the dark web. And it's organized, Dave, like a shopping cart, like Amazon. You can go out and choose what you want to buy. And then there's a rating system and stars about whether this seller is reliable in their data or not. And this is happening all over the place. It's crazy.
So for people out there who are thinking, okay, well, I'm not Amazon. I'm not Colonial Pipeline. I'm just a dentist. Are they going after everyone?
Yeah. So what a lot of these most all of these targeted attacks are not that. They're not targeted. They're sending out millions and millions of emails, and people are getting them and clicking them, thinking that it's FedEx or UPS or the IRS and during tax time or whatever it may be. They click an email and immediately their files are encrypted, locked up, and then ransom is demanded. So unless you have a proper backup system, unless you have proper systems in place to prevent this or even recover from this, it's only a matter of time. It really is, no matter how big of a company you are. This is getting worse and worse and worse. This is not something that they're just going after a pipeline system on. This is happening with city municipalities all over the place, as well as every size business you can think of. One thing that we will do a dark web scan for any business out there. We will take your domain and give you an idea of what's out there already, what's been hacked, and what's trying to be sold out on the dark web. So feel free to go to throttlenet.com, fill out a form, and we will do a dark web scan for you free of charge. Absolutely. We will also come out to your business and do some cybersecurity awareness training for your team. We think it's extremely important to start educating your employees about how to properly look at emails, surf the internet, how not to get malware. It's literally that crucial. To us, it's the biggest thing that's happening. It's the threat to your business. It isn't fire. It isn't tornado. It's ransomware.
And I'm guessing this isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
No. And because there's billions and billions of dollars, people are paying in Bitcoin that's not traceable. And because they get this money, it's happening all over the world where, you know, some people have the black helicopter thing where the governments of other countries are doing this. But a lot of it is organized crime all over the world getting paid. And honestly, that's what it's about. It's about money. It really is. They're not going to target a specific business in the middle of Missouri, but they're going to send out millions and millions of emails. And if one person in your office clicks on it, it's over, unless you're prepared. It really is that simple.
Yeah, why would organized crime do the old-fashioned stuff when you can literally sit in your pajamas and make real money?
Mm-hmm. Right. Why risk your life going out and selling something on the street with guns and knives when I can sit literally in my shorts on a TV in my living room and start selling your data across the world, making tens of millions of dollars. There's so much money in it. It's absolutely crazy. But what's scary on a more national level is what's happening with the pipeline and why it's such a huge story is that, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, it's a government system. It can't be penetrated. Well, yeah, it can. I mean, this was a private company. I do understand this is a private business. The Colonial Pipeline is. But still, you're talking about a major piece of American infrastructure that has now been literally infiltrated and shut down. So, I mean, if they can do that, they can get to anybody. They really can. I know it's a show me state and we all wait around until something happens. This is so, so important for the future of your small business. It really is. You have to go out there and take a look at how you're protected, how you're planned. Make sure you have a business continuity disaster recovery plan in place. We cannot stress this enough. And you know what? This is definitely not the last story or the last time we're going to hear this. It's going to keep going because they keep getting paid.
Mm. If you want to talk to George, you can do that personally by going to throttlenet.com/DGS. Tony, got a question?
I was just
going to
say a quick little free plug. We use ThrottleNet at my family's printing company. And they've been, I mean, I know we're talking about the big, huge ransomware stuff in this story, and that's important, and we feel great about being protected by them, but just the other services that they offer, the IT help and everything for such a small business. They've been absolutely wonderful for a company that doesn't have an IT department.
Yeah.
A company that doesn't have an IT, not an IT department. We don't even have an IT guy.
Yeah. I mean,
to
before
ThrottleNet,
James was doing your IT, right?
That's exactly right. It was literally best guy. And it was like the printer that was the best on computers.
Yeah.
That's
how most companies do it.
Yeah. And ThrottleNet's been fantastic for us.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah. Again, that's throttlenet.com/DGS. Welcome back, guys. 5:23. Kevin Wheeler's segment is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. What's up, Kev?
Oh, not much. Thanks for playing the sports fans anthem there as we come into this.
Yeah.
Right on the money, man.
So, I have to do the Pujols thing because I had a whole conversation with my mom about this yesterday, and my mom knew more than I did. So, she was saying, like, it's not possible for him to come because XYZ. Is she stoned again?
No, I mean, it's possible, but it's, like, super unlikely. I mean, you know, the word out of Anaheim, this is from Joe Maddon, the manager of the Angels, said that he doesn't want to be a bench player. By any stretch of the imagination, he does not want to be a bench player. Well, Paul Goldschmidt's the first baseman in St. Louis, and neither of those guys play anywhere else. So if he wants to play regularly, then he can't play for the Cardinals.
Fair enough. Good weekend? Yeah. Good weekend for the Cards?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're taking care of business, right? They've had this stretch now, 17 games in 17 days, and they went 13-4. And look, they had some games in there against teams that aren't very good, right? The Rockies are bad. The Pirates are bad. But what good teams do is they win as many of those games as they can, and you basically go .500 against the good teams, and you're gonna have a 90-95 win season if you play that way. And that's basically what we saw here. They beat the teams they should, and they split with the better teams, and that's it. I mean, that's what a good team generally does.
The Blues?
How about that? They clinched, man.
Mm-hmm.
Can people relax a little bit now, or is that not gonna happen? We're gonna talk to Bernie Federko tonight about it, but they've played a lot better down the stretch. They found the power play. I think it's going to be a big key for the postseason. The power play early in the year was awful. It was kind of an ongoing process, but they finished so well that now they're in the top 10 in the NHL in power play percentage. So they're starting to go in the right direction.
So what do we know about the playoffs, if anything, yet?
Well, if Vegas wins their next game, I think if they win or even if it goes into – they're playing Colorado – so if they beat Colorado or if they just get a point in that game, they'll clinch the number one seed. So the Blues will have to play Vegas in that scenario. But Colorado could still get it, but it would take some really weird things happening here in the last few days. You're going to face Vegas in the first round.
And how do you feel about that?
Not great.
Yeah.
Vegas is good, man. They're really good. I mean, they're loaded. They're good at some of the things that you've not been so great at. They got a deep roster. You know, they're just nothing to dislike about them. I mean, they're gonna have the President's Trophy. They're gonna be the best team in the regular season for a reason.
You mentioned the power play. What else, if anything, are the Blues doing now that they weren't doing a few weeks ago?
Great question, and I'll run that by Bernie Federico tonight, but I'd say that from my amateur opinion, just looking at it as a sports guy and not a former hockey player, I'd say that they've got more guys doing things within the proper like role, right? I mean, like guys have figured out where they belong. Like it took Hoffman forever to kind of find his niche with the team and to figure out where he fits and how it works. And it's really been working well with Hoffman, Robert Thomas, and Jordan Kyrou. They get the three of them playing together right now. They're super fast. They're all dangerous scorers. They're all creative players, and it seems to be working. But, you know, again, we'll see when you get up against a physical team in the postseason, do those guys still have the same amount of space and the same amount of time to be creative when things get a little tougher?
And what does the week look like for the Cardinals?
Well, they start off against Milwaukee tomorrow. So you got a three-game series against the Brewers in Milwaukee, and then you go straight from there to San Diego. So completely normal, rational geographic setup, right? You go straight north to Milwaukee and then out west to San Diego. So you've got a tough week, man. I mean, the Brewers are your top competition in the division, although Cardinal fans can breathe a little bit because Christian Yelich is on the injured list. You don't have to worry about him hitting 9 home runs in the three-game series up in Milwaukee. And you'll get to see Colton Wong again. Of course, they faced him earlier this year at Busch Stadium. And then the Padres, man, that was a team that dominated the offseason. You know, they and the Dodgers dominated the offseason in terms of making noise and making big deals. And they're supposed to be one of the two best teams in the National League, and they've struggled a little bit based on that expectation, but they're awfully good.
Cool. Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
535 DGS. So Rach was just telling Tony and I, feel a little bit anxious, and when you feel anxious, your phone is sort of like a balm to you. And I think everyone relates to that. And there's a new study just came out that psychologists, psychiatrists, and anthropologists all joined together. And get this. This is a little weird to wrap your mind around. But they were saying, in a very real way, life is now lived through your phone. Like, there's so, like, texting. And I don't have to tell you guys this, but you get it. Texting, Instagram, Facebook, all of that.
Television.
That we mostly live our lives on this little 4-inch screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's disappointing. It's frightening. And that's us. And I was born in 1964. For someone like Phoebe, you know, born in 2005, think about the possibilities that when she's my age, will people still be going out into the wilderness? Will people still, you know?
Hope so. But you're right.
Yeah. I mean, even when I first had social media and stuff, when I was 19 and 20, I would come home from work it'd be 9:30 at night, and I'd come home and I would get on Facebook and check my Twitter, and that took 20 minutes for both. And then I would go to my room, you know, like I didn't have it in the palm of my hand. We didn't have Wi-Fi for the longest time and a laptop. So I can only imagine being 16 and having an iPhone and Snapchat and TikTok and all this stuff that's designed. The algorithms of all of these apps that kids use are designed to addict you to the app. Like, there's a reason why when you get on TikTok and 2 hours go by and you go, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
They design it to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
What is that movie I told everyone to watch? Social?
I think it's The Social Dilemma.
God.
Mm-hmm.
It's all these people who are Silicon Valley who help to create these things saying, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guy. I was the guy for Facebook who was tasked with the job of making it addictive. And what do? They studied alcoholics, they studied opioid addiction, and they made it digital, a digital version of opioids. It's nuts.
Yep.
What
How do we
eating?
Get them?
That are your business?
It smells like candy. I can smell it all the way over here.
Bubble yum.
Oh, he's chewing gum. Oh, okay.
Swallowed it.
What else I don't like is, and look, I'm just as guilty, and we've kind of talked about this with the whole Facebook thing last week. How much control we've given.
Yeah.
It's not like there's 10 different companies making cell phones. If Apple decides, you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to pull the plug. Or you know what? We're going to charge you guys twice. Mm-hmm. We're going to charge you double from now on.
Just like a drug addict. We'd be like.
And then Samsung goes, you know what? They're only going to raise. We'll only raise our prices 50%. Mm-hmm. So you go with us now.
Yeah.
And we got nowhere to go.
Absolutely.
There's only a couple of big social media platforms. There's only a couple of big cell phone companies. And we've given them all this power.
Remember about 10 months ago, and President Trump wanted to take TikTok off of the App Store because the Chinese government was stealing our information through it. And this debate was raging. And then he kind of dropped the issue, and then no one ever thought about it ever again.
Nope. Yeah.
Like, now they're just freely stealing our stuff, and we're like, oh, what are you going to do? The app's pretty fun. Let's just keep it.
I know that I spend too much time on the air complaining about the way the world is moving. But I really believe it. And one thing...
Well, it's moving in a very dark direction. It's okay to complain about.
And you guys will get this. Rach, I especially want to hear from you, given your generation. One thing that makes me shake my head and roll my eyes is this fairly new thing of people can't just live their ordinary life. Everyone has to kill and dominate and run the world. You know what I mean? Like, there have always been Nebuchadnezzars, and, you know, there's always been people who were like that, Machiavelli, but they've been those people. And then the rest of us were content with just living a life and having kids and doing our thing. Now it's like everyone has to be a killer. And if you're not, it's like you don't even count.
Yeah.
And I'm so sick. Look, dude, you're not. The chances of you dominating anything are negligible. Trust me on this. But if it makes you feel better to have this fake persona or to tell yourself every day how you're going to... Look, I'm not saying you can't be successful. I'm just saying no one cares.
You get one sick burn or clap back that gets 200 likes. Oh, baby. You're on top of the world.
Well, it's easier than ever to project an image of success. You don't have to be successful, but you can project an image and fool yourself and fool other people. And then there are, you know, the people who feel like they can never live up to that. I think that's why you see so many teenagers who are depressed. And I'm not a teenager, but sometimes I look around at my peers and the lives that they're living and I go...
Or the lives they say
that they show me and I go, man, okay, I'm really behind in a lot of stuff.
Because everyone's putting out their highlight reel and we're all living our blooper reel, you know?
It's not even their highlight reel. Because it's edited.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's not even real stuff.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you don't look like that.
We have started producing ourselves.
Wow, you guys are saying smart things. It's really true, though. I mean, we've always tried to, as humans, put our best foot forward, comb your hair, you know. But now, you're right, Rach, we're producing a movie about our lives that isn't accurate.
Mm.
Which not only screws you up, because when you go to bed at night and it gets quiet, you know that's not you, but it screws everyone else up. Not me, because I'm not on social media, but it screws everyone else up you're connected with because you're depressing them because of your fake life.
Mm. Mm.
What could change it? Can you even think of anything other than like the technology
just
melting down or the aliens coming? Can you imagine?
Just people getting fed up.
But I don't think fed up's going to work. I think it would have to be bored.
I've said this before. I think social media is going to go the way of, like, smoking. For a while there, everybody smoked, and nobody really saw what was wrong with it, and you had doctors smoking in the doctor's office because it was just the thing to do. And then studies came out.
There's going to be groups.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We just haven't been living in this world long enough to realize how harmful it is. But we're going to figure out how harmful it is, and people are going to start making the choice of, man, I got to stop with this because it's making me miserable, and I don't even realize that's what's making me miserable. And that you'll still have people who partake, but I think it'll be a lot less than it was.
And like in everything else, in moderation, social media is not a bad thing. It can be a very good thing.
Yeah.
But when you become obsessive with it, then it can have a very negative impact on your life.
Yeah. Another study said 2/3 of people say that social media is ruining the world.
Yeah.
Yet.
I'm going to go on social media and talk about that.
Everyone's doing it. Yeah. Well, I mean, here at the company,
people are ruining the world with social media.
Here at the company, look, they're not abusive, but there's constantly cracking the whip on more social media, post that, viral, this, that. So, you know, when corporate America is pushing everyone to do that, of course, when part of your salary is based on it, or part of your performance. I don't know. I just think we're heading in a bad direction.
It was just really funny the way you were dancing. Did you see him, Tony?
Uh-huh.
He was going like this. He just doesn't normally dance. It's funny.
Oh, God.
Feeling the rock.
Okay. Elon Musk, Saturday Night Live, Dogecoin, yeah. Talk to me.
Let's hear it.
The Dogecoin's not doing so great, is it?
No, and I was literally watching its value go down the longer SNL went on Saturday
night.
What
did you think about him? I saw a couple of the skits. I thought they were kind of pretty much what I expected.
Yeah.
I know that they were good. I don't know that they were...
I thought it was a pretty bad episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the whole episode. I only saw a couple of the skits. They were about exactly what I would have predicted.
I unfortunately watched the whole thing. Wasn't great. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be great, but I thought maybe it would be like train wreck bad, which would also be fun. And it just ended up to me just being a poor showing from everybody.
Was there any political strife?
Not really. I don't think so. But a lot of the people who were complaining about working with him deleted their posts and ended up being in sketches with him. Like Bowen Yang was one who was going off on him. He took his post down, and I remember being like, oh,
you know why?
Okay, he's in a sketch.
Because people are cowards.
I guess.
But it is.
Now, or he didn't mean it. Yeah. He thought it was the cool thing to say,
That's
but didn't
exactly
really mean it.
I have nothing against Elon Musk. I don't care if he lives or dies or he's on SNL. I don't care. But when people do that kind of thing, like, I'm never gonna, and then they do, well, you're a coward. Have the courage of your convictions.
Dave Chappelle talked about it, I think, with Joe Rogan, basically saying, like, I don't know what their problem is. Like, he's coming on their show. He's one of the smartest, richest people in the world. Saturday Night Live has people from all, you know, they've had controversial guest hosts on many times in the past. If you don't want to work with them, you don't have to work with them. But I think Chappelle, one of the things that he said, one of the quotes that he said to Rogan is nobody can be woke enough. It's like we just can't. It's like everybody's just trying so hard to be the most progressive, the wokest person on the block. And Chappelle was like, at the end of the day, like, why? It doesn't get you. The more you complain about, the more you become that person that's always calling everybody out, the less people are going to listen to you because it's just like, oh, they're here they go again. It's like it defeats your own purpose.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I'm not some huge Elon Musk fan, but I just thought it was.
Yeah, he didn't like ruin the legacy of the show or anything. Like SNL has bad episodes all the time.
He wasn't the worst person ever on, and he was far from the best. But
right, I will say that I was particularly annoyed with him as someone who unfortunately bought Dogecoin.
So what happened there? Why is it just a backlash against him?
I think it was. Oh, this is the guy pushing it, and he's doing a bad job. He also did this joke on Weekend Update where they were like, "What is Dogecoin?" And the bit was Elon can't explain what it is, and it ends with Michael Che going, "Oh, so it's a hustle?" And Elon goes, "Yeah, it's a hustle."
Yeah.
Like, why would you say?
What are you doing?
As someone who owns Dogecoin, why would you say that, Elon?
Yes.
That was the wrong thing to do. So it was at like 75 cents or something on Saturday morning, and now it's at like 44.
I think it's irresponsible. You know? I mean, I think it's just, I don't know that he has a fiduciary duty or anything, but I think that's really, really, really irresponsible to know what control you have. To make jokes about how stupid Dogecoin is. What do you think is going to happen, dude? What do you think is going to happen?
Especially since everyone thought he was really going
to
puff it up
by
going on
SNL. Yeah, people like Rach, who are taking their hard-earned dollars and investing in this, I think it's really irresponsible.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.